Look, begin in Isaiah 9 today. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Light is one of the great recurring themes of the Christmas story. And even today there are so many lights displayed at Christmas. In spite of the energy price hikes, the lights are still there. Christmas tree lights, illuminations in our towns and cities, and some houses just have a spectacular light display, don't they? Candlelight, carol services, all kinds of things. But more importantly, the shepherds were bathed in heaven's light as the glory of God was revealed to them when the angels came with the good news. The wise men, they were guided by the light of the star, all prophesied here by Isaiah many centuries before. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And then much later on in Isaiah, and when you get to chapter 60, he says this: "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." He's telling us it is time to arise and shine. The light has come. We're not having to wait, holding our breath for Christmas Day to arrive. The light has come. Jesus has come. He has been born into our world, and Jesus, our light, has risen. He is the glory of the Lord revealed to us. His light is displayed to us. His light is displayed upon us, over us, and through us. In so many ways, through the working of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, attracting people to Jesus in us. It's almost as if Isaiah is saying, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? It is time to shine. Not simply with Christmas lights and other man-made lights, but God intends for us to shine with his glory. That is the light that we carry. And the glory of God increases through us as we take time to press into the presence of Jesus. That's how it happens. And it is this light, as we press in, it's a light that will pierce this darkness that we see around us. It is a light that will attract others to Jesus. It is a light that will draw others. It is a light, too, that heralds a new beginning, a new season, a new hope. Everything that we have in Jesus. That is what Simeon prophesies when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus as an 8-year-old baby into the temple. And he said all that Jesus was going to be. He said he is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That is the word that was prophesied over Jesus. And it was true throughout his lifetime. As you read all through the Gospels, you see that light shining. And it continues to be true through you and me, every true Christian, as we allow his light to shine. That is what we're called to do. So Jesus brings forth, as Simeon says, both revelation and glory, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. It is Jesus who brings revelation to those who don't know him. Do you remember the day when you got revelation, true revelation? It wasn't because somehow you had kind of sussed it all out for yourself. Far from it. It was when God revealed himself in Jesus to you. You got that revelation and that ongoing revelation that changes everything. And you know, in all of those things, when Jesus comes, it brings to us all the characteristics of him in us, and it brings it to life, and it continues to bring it to life. I love the fact that that we get fresh revelation, don't we, as we go on in this life. A fresh revelation, fresh glimpses of Jesus. And each time it stirs us, it excites us. We see him afresh, and he's revealed afresh in us and through us. And then Jesus also brings glory as his character is manifested through his people, through you and me. As we demonstrate what his kingdom looks like, something of his glory is revealed. Let me remind you again, I know I've quoted it many times, it's just one of my favourites, but Rick Warren, he says this, the glory of God. It is who God is. It is the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, the radiance of his splendour, the demonstration of his power, and the atmosphere of his presence. God's glory is the expression of his goodness and all his other intrinsic eternal qualities. Everything about it is all part of this wonderful expression and revelation of the glory of God. Years later, John records this in John 8, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't know how you feel about this time of year, apart from the cold weather, but there's just so much darkness. And I, for one, I kind of long for the light. It's only 10 days to go before the shortest day. I love it when we get beyond that day, when the days begin to get longer again. And we can be affected by the physical light and darkness. And I know I struggle with the ongoing gloom of winter. It does get to me. Some people, of course, struggle in the strong light, and they kind of just get their sunglasses on at the ready to get out of it. But the darkness, the lack of sunshine, and even on these lovely wintry days when the sun is shining, it's just lifts you, doesn't it? It's so lovely. But you know, we are more infinitely, deeply affected by the spiritual light that is to be found in Jesus. We might be affected by physical light and dark, but the spiritual light is a much deeper thing. Because Jesus, as he shines his spiritual light on us, what does it do? It causes our spirits to come alive. As he shines upon us. And it would do the same for others as he shines upon them. Because Jesus is the ultimate guiding light. Jesus is the ultimate light that is to be followed. He's shining. He shines through you and me. And more than that, he's a light to be filled with. He wants us to be filled with his lights. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the lights of life. And he was speaking of himself. He was speaking of the way he comes in us. He doesn't just kind of shine on the outside. His light penetrates. His light goes within us. His pure light, his spotless light, his revealing light, his empowering light shines upon us. It is life-giving and life-sustaining. Jesus went on to say, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And of course, while we recognize that Jesus isn't any longer physically present in the world, but through his spirit, the light of Jesus is poured out. It still shines in us and through us to others. And I think sometimes, you know, we almost need to recalibrate. We need to refix our attention away from the darkness, because we can somehow get caught up in all the darkness rather than actually on the light. And we need to come back to and refix our attention again and again onto Jesus. You know how it is with your sat nav. If you go off course, it's recalibrating. Sometimes you kind of deliberately try and mess about with this thing, don't you? Oh no, I want to go this way. And it keeps coming back, recalibrating. There's something about that. Every time we get taken off course because of the darkness, and we get consumed, we're following where that is leading. And the light of God is saying, recalibrate, come back, check in with the light again. Be directed, be guided by that light. And so we kind of need to ask ourselves that question. What is the thing that really attracts me? What am I drawn to? Am I drawn to the light that is Jesus? Or do I get drawn to the darkness around us? John comes back to this in his letters. In 1 John 1, he says this, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I just love the fact that true life, real life, is to be found in Jesus. It's not simply knowing about Jesus, it is his life in us that transforms us. It is that he becomes one with us, we become one with him. We are in Jesus. Our life and his life are inseparable. We are as one, we are in him. We need to understand the fullness of what that means. Because it is impossible to live this life, this new life that we have in Jesus, apart from him. We can't do it. We can't do it separated from him. You know, and it is because we're in him that the darkness cannot overtake us. It has no place. We're no longer in that realm. We're in him. And the one who is light, who is true light, who is pure light, who is eternal light. I kind of struggle with seasons of darkness, what I call darkness. A darkness will descend on me. I don't know whether any of you ever have those kinds of seasons, but it's something I've always struggled with, as long as I can remember, really. But and there is this, there's a Martin Smith song that kind of, for me, describes it. And gives a journey through it. I don't know whether he had any of that in mind when he wrote this song, but listen to how it goes. "When I feel the cold of winter," yeah, I feel that all right, but it's this next one, "and this cloak of sadness." Sometimes I can get surrounded with that. "I need you. All the evil things that shake me, all the words that break me, I need you." So it's refocusing, it's taking us back to the way out of the shadows, out of this cloak of darkness. "Do not hide me from your presence. Pull me from these shadows. I need you. Beauty, wrap your arms around me. Sing your song of kindness. I need you." I just those words help me to draw out of it. And then it goes on, "over the mountains, over the sea, here you come running, my lover, to me." And this is expert. "Oh, through the valleys, through the dark of night, here you come running, hold me till it's light." I just love that. When you're feeling the darkness, when you're feeling that cloak around you, what do we need? We want him to hold us. And in that place, thankfully it lifts and we come through those times. Darkness cannot overcome light. It cannot overcome the light that is in Jesus. There may be dark moments, there may be dark seasons. There was even a saying, you know, people had the dark night of the soul. You kind of have those expressions. But it will pass. We have to keep looking towards the light that is in Jesus. It's true in the natural world, it's true in the spiritual world. John goes on to say in 1 John 1, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." I just love that. He is absolutely pure light. There's nothing other than light. He is total light. Your natural light covers the whole spectrum. Some we can see, some we can't see. God's pure light covers it all. We've got used to light. Light is available at the flick of a switch, although maybe not if the power cuts come in this winter. But you know, we're used to being able to have light wherever we go. John challenges us here in 1 John 1. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I mean, naturally, we can choose where we walk. We can walk in the full blaze of the midday sun, like all mad dogs and Englishmen. We can choose to do that, or we can choose to kind of always find a shady spot, or maybe we'll even avoid light altogether. But Jesus says we are to walk with him. We are to be in fellowship with him spiritually. And to do that, we have to walk in the same light that Jesus walked in. Anything else is self-deception. The only true place is walking with Jesus, in the light that is Jesus, in that close communion, that close fellowship, that close journey with him. Perhaps John had something of this in mind because he recorded in his gospel something that Jesus said in John 3. He says this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. He's speaking of himself, Jesus, the light that had come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have been done has been done through God. We have to come in that where we position ourselves just gives us a check-up, if you like. Where are we in our journey with God? Are we those who wanted to press into his presence? Are we those who are kind of thinking, well, you know, I've had enough of that. I want to do my own thing today. Thank you very much. As we pull away from that light. But there is another factor that comes into play that we've spoken about from time to time. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 4. He says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They cannot see it. Sometimes that is a deliberate decision. They are determined that whatever happens, they're not going to have anything to do with God. Other times, it's kind of like there is this spiritual blindness. You know, you have people, I long to see what you see. I would long to have what you have, but I don't know, I just don't see how to get there. And what is going on? There is a blindness, there's a spiritual blindness. And that is why we need to pray that God would lift the veil off those people. You know, I'm sure we've all had those times when we talk to people and it's kind of a glazed look, or they just don't get it. And you think, well, let me say it again. And you say it again and it just kind of gets worse. You know how it is. And you just feel, like, I'm just not getting anywhere with this. Nothing's going in. There is this blindness, this spiritual blindness. And I believe more and more we have to pray and go on praying this prayer. God, would you lift the veil off so that this person can see you for who you are and stop the ears, soften the heart, whatever it is, that they may be able to come into this experience. It's his light alone that would do that. In that passage, Paul goes on to say this in verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. It was kind of picking up on the language of creation. Everything came to birth when the light came. Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts. I kind of like that image. He's saying, just as God spoke creation into being when he said, let light come, he brought about a recreation in our hearts as he shone his light into our hearts. A recreation took place in you and me, just as powerful as on that first day when God spoke over this world. In our lives, we're recreated. What happened? To give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. He brings us into that place of intimately knowing him. not intellectually knowing about him, none of that, but he brings us into that dynamic intimacy with him, that we know him through his light penetrating into our hearts. It all begins with God. He focuses, he directs his light into our hearts with this objective that we may see his glory and see his face. Don't you long to see more of the face of Jesus? I just long for that. I just love those stories. I kind of, I get a bit jealous about it when you hear the stories of people. Oh, I just saw Jesus, his eyes are just piercing, and oh, it's wonderful, and they're forever changed. And, oh, Lord, that I might see you with such clarity, I might see you and be changed for that. When we see him, we are changed forever. It doesn't end there, because then Jesus calls us to let the light of Jesus shine out. There in Matthew 5:14 it says, you are the light of the world. Individually and collectively. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's more than doing good deeds, although of course we should, but then there are many people who do amazing things, but not necessarily because they are a Christian born again. There is something more. We are called to live in a way in which the light that is in us, the light of Jesus that is in us, because we have received that life transformation, him in us, that it needs to be shining out of us in such a way that others may also experience Jesus, the one who is pure light, and as a result of that, God is glorified each time someone comes to him, someone comes into that place. And it's not something we have to strive for. It doesn't come about, this won't come about if we kind of grit our teeth and say, I'm going to shine today and something's going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. Think back to Moses. The glory of God shone out of Moses. How did that come about? Moses didn't even know it had happened. It's only the other people that... It was because Moses had spent time in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, that, if you like, the light of his presence so filled him that it just radiated from him. He hadn't just tried to make it happen. All he had done is determine he was going to stay in the presence of God. And so the light... is shown for him, from him. Daniel's another great example of that. Daniel, he was living his life in the heart of a very pagan culture. It wasn't out of his choice. It was a place where he was sent to. And God placed him there, and the light of God shone in him so brightly. And then when you get there, for example of that, in Daniel 6, we have the lion's den. If you remember the story, King Darius had desperately tried to use his power to save Daniel from going to the lions, but there's nothing he would do. He'd been stitched up in order that this took place. And so you find there in Daniel 6, he gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. I kind of find that was interesting. This was the king. It wasn't just... his co-workers, this was a king, he knew. God knew about Daniel. He saw that you don't just serve him once in a while. You don't go, on special occasions and serve him. You don't just serve him when others are around who also have the same love of God. You don't just do it in private. But this is your continual lifestyle, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is who you are. This is the God you serve continually. We need to be people who are continually, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're living in that place and that attitude. It was a light, if you like, in Daniel that was continually shining for all to see. And at the end of that account, if you remember the story, Daniel was brought out of the lion's den totally untouched, unharmed. And then King Darius issued a decree that was then proclaimed throughout the length and breadth of this vast empire. And this is what he said. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, People must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. What made the king make that incredible statement? Daniel's light has shone and he has seen it and he had received something of that. And it just would be amazing, wouldn't it? Can you imagine, as we shine with the glory of God, that others around would have no option but to say, your God is glorious. There is no one. I don't get it, but all I can say is there is something there in your God that is different to anything else I've ever known. The draws and the tracks. Daniel had let his light shine. We too need to let our light shine. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over its peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Father, we just thank you that as we come deeper into this Christmas season, that we are reminded of your lights. We're reminded of your coming. You're shining brightly amongst us. And we thank you for your coming. We thank you that you are shining brightly once more. Lord, and you've caused us to be transformed because of the light of your presence that's shone into us. And we pray, Lord, we would take on board this exhortation that has come, that we would arise and shine, that we would arise and shine filled with your glorious presence, that we would allow your light to spill out, that we'd spend time in your presence like Moses did, that we would truly shine and shine. Lord, that we would be the same, that we would shine continually like Daniel, wherever you place us, whatever is going on. Lord, and I pray too again that you would lift that veil from people's eyes and hearts, that they would be able to see the reality of you and your light and your love and your all that you are. Lord, I pray even over this Christmas period, Lord, that there would be a light that shines from your people, from each one of us and for every believer across this nation and around the nations, that would draw men and women and young people to you, that lives will be transformed by you. Lord, it is a reason you came. And Lord, I pray that we will continue to carry on with what you have commissioned us to do, that we might see the darkness dispelled and the lights shine ever more brightly. Lord, help us. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength. We need your constant help and support and presence. Your constant infilling and life. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to shine with the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.